All right, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2 in your Bible. Luke chapter 2. Would you guys stand with me one more time? Luke chapter 2. And we will read verse number 6 down through verse number 20. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you know Luke chapter 2 is a famous account of the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to pick it up in verse number 6. Actually, we'll pick it up in verse number 8. Excuse me. You know what? We'll read verse number 6 because it talks about when Jesus was born. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their hearts, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this season that we get to celebrate your birth. And God, I do pray that today that you would allow us to, for just a brief moment, to see the amazing, incredible event that took place so many years ago, unlike any that the world has ever seen before or has ever seen since. God became flesh. And God, it truly is a reason to celebrate, to rejoice, to praise God. So God, I do pray that you'd help us today to do just that. Pray that you bless this message. Pray that you'd use me to get your message to your people. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Christmas, just like just about everything else, has people that love it and people that hate it. Christmas, believe it or not, has its haters. I know. Who doesn't love Christmas? What's wrong with people who don't love Christmas? Now, to be fair, there are things that distract from the true meaning of Christmas. And I can understand that. I can understand how there can be people that kind of like, well, they're not celebrating Jesus. Recently, I was preaching for Olelo Christian Academy for their chapel, and I asked the students, why do we exchange gifts on Christmas? And they really weren't quite sure why we exchange gifts on Christmas, but they were sure glad that we did. They were looking forward to exchanging more gifts coming up on this Christmas. But Christmas can get confusing, can't it? I mean, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people saying different things, and really today's culture celebrates much more than the Messiah in a manger. It is a season of celebration, but some don't like to recognize Jesus in that celebration. They'd rather not. But they want to celebrate, and so there are things that really aren't Christ. And so as a result, Christians can sometimes counter with a lack of excitement for Christmas. And I get that to an extent. I get it. We don't want to dishonor God. We don't want to give tribute to something that's not giving glory to Jesus Christ, or give our time to something. And so I understand that, and I I get and I respect that heart that wants to just honor God. But also, and with addition to that, Christmas, the season of Christmas, can be a time where people battle depression in a larger scale than they do throughout the rest of the year. And studies have shown this, that this time of year, this time of celebration, this time of Christ's birth, can be a very difficult time for some. More than normal. In reality, Christmas can be a time of sadness. Typical things that cause sadness during this time of year are stress. I mean, everybody's busy, every store is full, the roads are packed, people are going, it's busy. Activities everywhere. You got to do this, you got to do that. It's stressful. Because you're doing so many activities and doing all these things, you can get tired, fatigued, not getting enough sleep at night. And then there's the whole unrealistic expectations for what Christmas should be. We expect certain things, and when it doesn't quite happen like we expect it, we get a little bummed. And then there's the whole over-commercialization of the celebration of Christ's birth. There's financial stress, which we do have Financial Peace University coming soon, so be careful about how you spend. There's financial stress. I mean, how are we going to celebrate Christmas? Christmas can be expensive if you do what everybody does, buy gifts, have a big meal, do all these different things. The money can kind of pile up or not pile up. And then there's some that can't be with family and friends. And they can have these times when they're not with their loved ones and they can feel lonely and separated, and that can cause depression. All these things kind of are in Christmas. But this morning, I kind of want to, if we can, just take a time to focus on the reason for why we celebrate. Just a few of them, actually. There's a lot of reasons for why we can celebrate Christ at Christmas time, but I just want to focus on a few of the reasons why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. For me, it's one of the most wonderful times of the year, really. I love the celebration of his resurrection as well, but this time is fabulous. It's wonderful. Truly, it's a time to celebrate. So this morning, I hope to give you just three quick reasons for why you should celebrate Christmas. More importantly, why you should celebrate Christ at Christmas. The first thing that I want us to notice is that he has come. God has come. You know, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the prophet prophesied that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name, he'll be Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. That prophecy came true when we see that he is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. He is the King of all creation. In fact, I love in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it tells also the story of Jesus Christ, but it also includes the story of those wise men. In verse number 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? He is king, for we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." And for me, the celebration of Christmas is about this celebration that the king has come. And it's not just any king. He is the king. The king of everything, the king of the universe, the king of our hearts, the king. He is the king and he has come. He has been born in the flesh. He is the king of the ages. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of glory. He is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And that's what Christmas is celebrating. We are celebrating Christ. It's a wonderful celebration of Jesus Christ. And the reality is he's not just any king. He's your king. He's my king. That's my king. Jesus has been born. He is the sovereign king. What's amazing about him is his love is immeasurable.
This king's love for you and for all of mankind is absolutely immeasurable. And there is no barrier that can keep his love and his blessings from pouring out on you. Amazing. Wonderful. He is enduringly strong. He is eternally steadfast. He is all-powerful. I mean, think about that. An all-powerful king. He is impartially merciful, which means he gives his mercy to each and every one of us. He is the greatest phenomenon that this world has ever seen. I want you to think about that, because there's been some amazing and great things that have happened in the world in human history. I mean, there's monuments. The man walked on the moon. I mean, we have technology. We have cars that drive, planes that fly, phones that can talk wirelessly all over the world in an instant. And yet, none of them come even close to the phenomenon that is God being born in the flesh, the king coming in the manger in Jerusalem. He is God's son. He is a savior for sinners. He is. I know we overuse this word, but he is awesome. He is unique. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is the miracle of every age. And he is the only one qualified to be Savior. He supplies strength for the weak. He's an escape for the tempted. He strengthens, he sustains, he guards, he guides, he heals. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers captives. His promises and his word are sure. His goodness is limited. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word that he has given us is enough. It's sufficient. His grace also is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And today, he has come. And that is the reason for why we celebrate. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. He is king. And he's my king, he's your king, he's the world's king. The reason I love Jesus and Christmas is the Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they also found out that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't hold him. And the grave couldn't keep him. And that's my king. That's your king. And he has come. And yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He has come. And honestly, if that doesn't get you excited about Christmas, if that doesn't get you excited about, hey, the king has come, let's celebrate the king at Christmas, I really have two words for you. Bah! Humbug! I mean, come on! Celebrate the king at Christmas! He's an amazing king. And he has come. There's another reason I think we should celebrate, is because God's love is displayed. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God loves you very much. But how do you know? I mean, how do you know? Well, he's displayed it or commendeth it for you. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word commendeth means to display before the universe. He has displayed his love for us, for you, by sending his son to be born in the manger, to die on the cross, and to rise again for you, because he loves you. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We were talking this morning as we began our growth group about the idea of being loved. And yesterday I celebrated my 37th birthday. And I'm not old by any, I guess. My wife's trying to tell me I'm very old. But as you get older, you realize what's truly valuable. You know, I think when you're younger, you think that, man, money is pretty powerful, and fame and opportunity and all these things, and they have their place. But as you get older, one of the things that I crave is just being loved. It's just having friends and family around you that love you. It's an amazing thing. And yesterday, I slept in a little bit because it was my birthday. And when I woke up, my son was already awake. And the first thing he said to me was, "I love you, Papa. Happy birthday." That feels good. I like that. I felt loved. And the girls all did the same. In Hanukkah, I expressed her love by some very thoughtful gifts. And she told me as well she loved me. And it was just, I felt loved. And when you think of all the things that you could get for your birthday, or even for Christmas, I think one of the greatest is just knowing that you're loved. Christmas time is a time when we recognize that God sent His Son as an expression, an incredible expression, of His love for you. And that's why we celebrate. God loves you. We are reminded once again of God's love at Christmas, and it is a great reason to celebrate. But then there's a third reason, and that is that a Savior is born. Going back to our text, in verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill towards men." I love that phrase, "for unto you." Jesus was born for you. For unto you, He was born a Savior. It's been said if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. For unto you was born this day in the city of David an educator. And if it was our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us possibly a scientist or an inventor. And we don't read, "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a scientist or an inventor." And if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But again, we do not see, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a economist." But what we see, born in Bethlehem, "For unto you in the city of David is a Savior." The greatest need for mankind is to be saved from our sin. And so God sent a Savior. We live in a world that is broken. We've been talking about this in our growth groups, that there is brokenness everywhere. We are broken. We're broken. We are sinners. And that sin, the result of that sin, is that it will destroy us. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages or the price, the penalty for sin is death. Sin is a terrible thing, and Jesus is the only cure. I love that the angels were praising God, not for their Savior, but for ours. They were excited about our Savior that was born not to them, but to us. After the shepherds saw Jesus in the manger, they saw Mary, they saw Joseph, they celebrated. In verse number 20, the Bible says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." They celebrated. They celebrated a Savior. Every person needs Jesus because we are all sinners. So as we close this message this morning, the simple question I have for you today is, are you sure that He's your Savior? Are you sure? I know We all like to celebrate Christmas. I get it. We all understand there was a baby that was born in a manger. He was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived, he grew, and he lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross. He shed his blood for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again for the forgiveness of your sins. But is he your Savior? Do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? Because it has to be personal, something that you receive. I don't think this would happen because typically we give our gifts to family and friends, but I have given gifts to people before and have them reject them. I don't want that. Sometimes it's not even knowing what it is. And the person who rejects the gift without knowing what it is will not have the benefit of that gift. They will not be able to know that their sins are forgiven. So for you and I this morning, the question is this. Have you received the gift? The gift of God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you made it yours by faith? This truly is the most significant event in human history. I believe there's a couple coming, including his return, that are equally significant. But they haven't happened yet. When you look at all of human history, this is unreal. That God would come to dwell among us and die for us. That's Christmas. That's why we celebrate. That's why we get excited about it. And I know there's a lot that can confuse it and cloud it. I get that. But as a Christian, you should celebrate it. Because the King has come, God's love is displayed, and the Savior is born. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. Lord, I do pray and I ask that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I know this season can be difficult. I know it can be overwhelming. I know that there are things that happen that can leave memories that we just can't shake. And I know for some that because of all of that, they'd rather not celebrate. And again, I understand it. And then there are others who say, you know what, there are things that confuse and distract from Christ. And I get that heart too. But God, the King has come. Your love is displayed and a Savior is born. So God, might we celebrate, might we praise, and might we do like the shepherds who went about in that countryside telling everybody what they'd seen and heard. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is for sake of privacy, both in this room and also in the overflow. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. There's a reason why I had every head bowed and every eye closed. And the reason for that is because I'm not going to embarrass you. I would not do that. So in the privacy of your seat, I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand or call you out or anything like that. I want to pray for you. And if you'll slip your hand up, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? And put it right back down, I will. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that I've received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray for me that I might know for sure that I have that gift? If that's you, both in the overflow and in this auditorium, if you'd slip your hand up, I'll see it and you can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Anybody like that? Then Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you'd help us to celebrate you this Christmas. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.